How many, our life goal is to build a sand castle. We seek to spend our retirement worshiping in the sand. How many build bigger barns on the sand? How many people teach their kids the ways of the sand? How many of us spend all this time in social media posts on celebrities who are in love and worshiping the sand? How we love to spend so much time playing in our sandboxes with our sand toys, dreaming of more time in the sand.
What's up, Live in the Light? If you have made it this far consistently with us through Living in the Light of the Kingdom, we are so grateful to have you here. And if this is the first time you've tuned in with us here on Live in the Light, we want to welcome you to. We have reached the final message in our series on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' message to his people was direct and encouraging, a call to live your life following him with your whole heart. And we don't slow down at the end. This message is an appropriate wrap-up, and we are calling it, Oh, to be founded on the rock. I bet if you've been in church for any length of time, you can list a few worship songs with rock in the title. Hey, Robbie, let's go. Let's see how many we can name.
Well, you're certainly catching me off guard today, Shannon. That's pretty tricky of you. However, one that comes to mind I love so much, Rock of Ages. That's a beautiful, beautiful hymn. How about you?
Oh, that's a good one. What about On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand?
Yeah, that's also a very, very good one as well. I know one called The Rock Won't Move.
Oh, that's a good one too. Hey, I love listening with my kids to Honey in the Rock. That's a new one.
That is a new one, and that's a really good one. Shout out to Brooke, right? Brooke wrote that one as well.
So good.
And that leads us, though, now, as you said, to be found on the rock. Jesus ends the sermon. We said it all along, greatest sermon ever given, greatest person who ever lived, one of the most important subjects ever, the kingdom of God. And now he ends it with, listen, you're one of two people. I mean, that's amazing to me too. Like, that's just so incredible. Everything in life comes down to one of two people, either on the sand or on the rock. The sand doesn't last, the rock lasts forever. And that's what the rock of Jesus Christ is all about. So again, sobering, important, getting our attention. It's why we sing the songs we sang. As you mentioned, Shannon, it's so encouraging that way. But may the Lord use this final message in this incredible sermon, Jesus' sermon, and allow it to show again where we are, and may people get saved even today. Lord, would you do that? Would you do that? So we're excited to see what Jesus has for us today.
Yes, let's get into Matthew 7 for the final time and learn more about our strong foundation.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, this is our last passage, 24 to 27 in the verses, Matthew 7, 24 to 27. And with that, we again open our Bibles to our final message in the Sermon on the Mount. Hard to believe, starting back in early September, but what a blessing it has been to go through this together as a church. By the way, just maybe as we wrap up the Sermon on the Mount again this weekend, I want to encourage you to consider going through the Sermon on the Mount in your devotions this coming week. And maybe going through it slowly to be reminded of where we've been. Maybe there's a certain passage the Holy Spirit will remind you of and be like, remember when we learned about that? And remember when the Holy Spirit saying to you where you were convicted on that? And maybe have a journal open and just go through slow. I think it'd be a wonderful exercise. I'm planning to do that myself. And just to have, again, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and go through it and be reminded of all the massive truths that we went through. Maybe you've marked up your Bible as you've gone through this year and you'll be stirred in heart to do that as well. Again, go through it slowly. Take the time to do that and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. That will be probably the best time you spend all week. When you allow again your heart to be built and encouraged by the Spirit of God in his truth. So we reach again our final passage in Jesus' sermon here, and Jesus ends it in brilliant fashion. He does this with a powerful summary of all that he's stated thus far. And once again, what Jesus does again, which is just amazing to me, is once again, he reminds us at the end of the day, all of us are one of two people. Like every single person who's ever lived is either one of two people. Either we build our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ, or we build our lives on the disastrous sand of the world. That's where today we see. There's no in-between. You're either one or the other. And make sure you know this too, right? There's no one who lives with one foot in the rock and one foot in the sand. Many try to do that. They're like, no, I'm gonna rock and I'm gonna go sand. You cannot. It's absolutely spiritually impossible to have one foot on the rock and one foot on the sand. It doesn't work that way. There's no in between. Again, this is sobering for us to even acknowledge. And for us to make sure we understand, again, the reality of this truth, okay? So again, some are here today, some are in overflow, whatever it is, some listening, just again, you cannot have your life built on both the rock and the sand. It's one or the other. So all of us right now, every single one, we're either on the rock or we're not. And this is how Jesus ends his sermon. He clearly, bluntly, soberingly, shockingly, but lovingly explains, again, as we think about where we've been in the last half of chapter 7, Jesus has gone out of his way to say, listen, there's a wide gate and there's a narrow gate. There are unhealthy trees and there are healthy trees. There are those who enter his kingdom and those who are rejected from entering his kingdom. And then today, again, he says there are those who build their lives upon the rock and those who tragically build their lives upon the sand. Matthew 7, verse 24, please look with me. Jesus says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall. I mean, this is this next phrase here you want to underline or circle or something. Because it had been founded on the rock. That's our sermon title. Verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine, notice, they hear the words of Christ and does not do them, though, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Again, serious stuff from Jesus here. He continues to double down and triple down on the truths that he's teaching the past couple of weeks. Notice how verse 24 begins. Jesus says, Everyone then, he's building off of what he previously taught. That can also be translated. Maybe if you have a different translation than mine, yours actually says, therefore. So Jesus here right now, he says, everyone then, therefore, he's drawing on the entire teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, but specifically he's drawing on verses 21 to 23. He's drawing on who are the people who will enter his kingdom. Everyone then who, notice verse 24, who hears these words of mine, not enough. We're going to see today, tons of people hear the words. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. Again, I'll say it one more time. Notice both the wise man and the foolish man hear the words of Christ. Both are recipients of the truth and hearing, again, the life-changing teaching of Jesus Christ. That's very important for us to understand. The difference is who does the words of Jesus Christ, meaning who hears them, believes them, repents by them, is transformed in them, and ultimately obeys them. This is the person who hears the words of Christ and then does the words of Christ. What we know too, right? And this is just reality. Some have been sitting here in this room or overflow or whatever, the entire series on the Sermon on the Mount since September till today. Maybe they missed a couple here and there, but they've been here the whole time. They have heard the words, but have not been changed by them. So I'm sitting here right now. You have heard the words of Jesus Christ, but you have not done them. They have not changed you. There has been no genuine repentance. There's not a genuine transformation that has occurred. So just because you're sitting here listening doesn't guarantee that we'll be actually able to do and be transformed by the words that we are hearing. that requires faith in Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, a desire to actually live for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus is getting at. The ability to sit in here but not be changed. Now that makes sense to me because for 22 years of my life, I sat in church and I heard, but I did not do. I heard I could recite, and I had to recite verses. I was an altar boy in the Anglican church that I grew up. I sang in the youth choir. I was hearing a lot, but there was no actual change in my life. Does that make sense to me? And Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine, but must do them, believe in them, repent of sin, be transformed in the Lord Jesus Christ, obey them, believe in them. Again, I am moved and transformed by the words of Christ. This is the foolish man or the wise man and woman here today. The foolish man or woman is the one who only hears, but does not do. This is the person then who builds their house, the wise person who builds their house on Jesus Christ, which is point number one. We're keeping very simple today, but again, I think that's important as we go through this text. Point number one is this: the wise build their house upon the rock. The wise build their house upon the rock. Again, look at verse 24 again. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Did you know that the island of Manhattan consists almost entirely of bare granite, which of course is an immensely strong rock? So in order for one of those massive skyscrapers to stand in Manhattan, let's say a 75 to 100 story skyscraper to stand, what builders use, they use things called piles. Piles are concrete or steel columns that are hammered into the ground until they penetrate the rock. You think for the especially high buildings in Manhattan, I mean, I was amazed when you think about this, the ability of construction. Some piles are driven 25 stories into the ground to ensure that the building will stand properly and ultimately not collapse. Without this foundation, a building that height has no chance. I mean, any of us who've been around any kind of building construction, we understand the importance of foundation specifically, again, building upon the rock. Jesus teaches here, those who hear his words and obey his words, they build their house upon the rock. And it is because the words of Christ, what, point to the truth of Christ, and Jesus Christ is the rock of life. Those people who dig deep to find the rock and build their life, that when the storms come, they may not be altered. Look at how Luke's gospel says this. This is, again, another version of the teaching we see today. Jesus says this: everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. There you go. Who dug deep, found the rock, and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose and the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built on the rock. This is the wise person who builds their house upon the rock. Again, everyone who hears the words of Christ and does them, you are building your foundation upon someone that will never, ever be moved. There's so much in scripture that speaks of such metaphors. Proverbs 12, verse 3 says, no one is established by wickedness. No one is established by wickedness. This is the deception of sin and Satan. All these promises sin makes and Satan makes, the world makes, can't deliver on any of them. No one. And who's that for today even? No one is established by wickedness. Listen, but it says this, but the root, I love this verse from Proverbs for so many years, but the root of the righteous will never be moved. The root, now we're going to tree metaphor. The roots of the righteous go so far down, it causes a foundation of strength that will never be moved no matter what storm comes its way. You know what's very important too, as you think about the house of the wise man and the house of the foolish man in this parable? From a distance, or even from the curb, both houses can look identical. Both houses can can look nice, appealing, great curb appeal, impressive, beautiful structure from the ground up. You can look at two individuals and two houses and be like, man, they look the same. But of course, the key is that you need to get underneath to see the foundation to find out if they really are the same, because the storm's gonna come. And that's the thing about this parable that Jesus tells here today too. The storm comes for everyone. The storm comes against every house ever built. The storm's coming. It's the houses built on the foundation of the rock of the words of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ himself. They are the houses that will stand. The storm comes to reveal the structural integrity of the house itself. The storm will reveal the house built on sand or the house built upon the rock. But again, please understand, the storm's coming for every single life who's ever lived. Now, storms can be used in one of two ways. Storms in this life now can prove the genuineness of faith or the faith that is not genuine. The faith, the professed faith that is actually not real. Think of the parable of the sower. In the parable of the sower, Jesus, again, teaches in these similar kind of metaphors and teaching, the seed that fell on the rocky ground, because it fell on the rocky ground, it had no root. And then when tribulation and persecution comes, immediately that person falls away. So there's an initial sight of, wow, this individual seems to be going okay, but then the storm comes in, the tribulation, the persecution, again, for following Christ, or they see that, and immediately they back out, they run away, proving they were never real in the first place, a house built on sand. Storms of this life will be used to prove where we really are. Those who are truly built on the rock, they will persevere. They will keep on going. It is so difficult, but we will keep on going. We have to, because Christ has saved us and secured us, and he propels us in the midst of tears and anguish and sorrow and difficulty, but we press on because we must, because he owns us and calls us. But the ultimate storm represented here, as Jesus articulates so clearly here, the ultimate storm represents the judgment to come. The ultimate storm of judgment before Jesus Christ as we enter into eternity, where all will be tested to prove whether they are genuine or not. Jesus makes it abundantly clear our lives must be built upon him and him alone, because only Jesus Christ is our foundation. Only Jesus Christ is the cornerstone with which the building is built upon. Only Jesus Christ is the truth in terms of the truth of life and eternal life. Only Jesus Christ is the door. The door to heaven, only Jesus Christ is the rock. Only Jesus Christ is the foundation with which the house is built that will survive the coming storm of judgment, again, that awaits us all. So here's the key. Jesus is saying, you can hear the word, that's not enough. Hearing today, hearing these words, we're all hearing. You can hear this and be like, whatever, and leave. That's the foolish person. Hear, believe the words of Christ, that Christ is the only foundational rock on which we stand, then transformed by that faith in Jesus Christ, and obey now and live for Jesus. Every baptism today, that's it. Saved in Jesus Christ, believed in Jesus Christ, following Jesus Christ, transformed by Jesus Christ, obeying Jesus Christ, not to mention baptism as obedience in Jesus Christ. Building their lives upon the rock. The definition of wisdom, the lives and the houses that will stand forever. The wise build their house upon the rock. Point number two, the foolish build their house upon the sand. Verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Just want to remind us again as to the seriousness with which Jesus teaches here in this section today and the previous sections in recent weeks. Consider what Jesus has taught in the last four sections on this topic here. Look at this for a second on the screen. So this is, again, like the last 4 weeks in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, again, the wide road leads to destruction. The unhealthy tree will be cut down and burned. The disobedient will be rejected from entering the kingdom. The houses of the foolish will be swept away in the midst of the storm. You cannot escape Jesus irrefutably teaching the doctrine of coming judgment. The liberal church wants to get rid of this. They want to deny this. I mean, again, you have to throw the Bible in order to come up with some doctrine other than this. Jesus is so clear. Why? Because he loves us as grace and in truth. It's amazing. I mean, sometimes like I'm reading this. I just be honest with you. Pastoral transparency. Like I'm reading this. I'm like, would I say it that way? I'm like, whoa, Jesus, you're pretty intense. Like, wow, like that's kind of, it's sometimes like, wow, that kind of feels like really blunt. Like, how do the people respond when they're listening to this? And he goes like round one or round two and round three and round four. I'm just reminding myself. I'm like, look at what Jesus so clearly said here. It's sobering, but he does it because he wants us to make sure, again, there's no bait and switch, but also clarity in what's happening. See, as much as Jesus is filled with extravagant grace, he's fully committed to unflinching and bold truth. Here's a very interesting insight and question to ask. Is Jesus teaching this to scare people into the kingdom? And the answer has to be, in one sense, yes. Yes. He wants his listeners to know the reality of what's coming. Like, no more of this pretending that death doesn't come for us all and there's nothing after life. As all these people in the denial try to convince themselves there is no life after death. Jesus, he's like, I tell you the truth. You need to know what's coming after death. It's not pretty for those apart from the rock of Jesus Christ. It's terrifying. So in a word, yes, he is trying to scare people in the sense of telling them the truth of what awaits us. And in our day, we need to feel that. We need to know that because it is the truth. We need to know, again, the more that we understand what we deserve in judgment and God's wrath, the more we are overcome by the gift of grace found in the Lord Jesus Christ. These funerals sometimes that just aware of, just the secular funerals. And maybe one more story of someone singing Frank Sinatra's I Did It My Way. I mean, just like, it is depressing. It is so depressing. Because in the end of the day, you stand in judgment and that's all you got? Terrifying. Some ways, the best way we love people by telling them the truth. And then you offer them the grace to be aware of the reality of judgment. But now, the rescuing, now the love of Jesus Christ. I think of the sinful woman in Luke chapter 7, sinful woman, probably a prostitute of the city. She's in the Pharisee's house. All the Pharisees are condemning her. She is so, I mean, I love the passage, and probably you do too. She's so overwhelmed with the grace of Jesus Christ because of the forgiveness given to her. All her sin, she knows about all her sin, all her depravity, all her horrible evil, all the things she has done, but she sees Christ in his forgiveness. She knows she deserves judgment. She knows she deserves hell. But Christ forgives her and loves her, and she is broken and weeping on his feet and wiping her tears with her hair on his feet. She is so utterly devastated in such a good way in the grace and love of God that meets her in her sin. And then the whole point of that, as the Pharisees judge her, Jesus tells the story, he who's forgiven much loves much. And when we know how much we've been forgiven in Jesus Christ and what we deserve, then men, we think, what have I received? That humbles us. A mentor friend of mine said many years ago too, he just said, one of the quickest ways to get perspective and humility, ask yourself the question, what do we deserve and what have I received? What do we deserve? Death, hell, wrath. What have we received in Jesus Christ? Grace, forgiveness, mercy, eternal life. That'll change your day. That'll humble us, and it should. So we must be faithful to scripture here and to Jesus' words here. And one of the realities that Jesus is teaching here, there's a storm coming soon, a very, very serious storm. It's a storm of terrifying judgment. And listen, for all those who live for self, for riches, for luxury, and for sensuality, for all those who lived apart from Jesus Christ, they are in very, very grave danger. Again, I'm amazed at how much scripture warns us of such truth. These scriptures so often stick out to me. These are just a couple, like three of like dozens and dozens and dozens. Psalm 73, read this a couple weeks ago. Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease, they increase in riches. Sound familiar? Always at ease and increase in riches. That's so much of our society. Truly, you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment. Before you worship a celebrity in social media, just remember verses like this. Like, I'm serious. You are worshiping a system that in a moment will be swept away utterly by terrorists. I would not want to give my life to that which is subject to this. Let's go to the next verse here. Psalm 49. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever. Wow, like when the Bible is just so, be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. This is such a good word. Hey, why? For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. Bezos and Amazon, like he carries nothing with him, man, nothing, nothing. Just be reminded of this on a daily basis when you're tempted to try to gather more and more earthly riches. It doesn't last. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed. Isn't that so true? Isn't the Bible amazing? The Bible's just amazing. And though you get praise when you do well for yourself, that's our world. We worship them. We hold them up. We exalt them. His soul will go down to the generation of his fathers who will never again see light. Wow. This is in the Bible, by the way. Psalm 49, you can read that today. I mean, it's just powerful, powerful stuff. One from the New Testament. Let's go to James chapter 5. Come now, you rich. Weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Wow. I mean, like, man, like, again, the authors of the Bible are loving us with truth and grace. Your riches have rotted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. Man, who's writing this stuff? You have laid up treasure in the last days. Like, we can't say we weren't warned. At least being here, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. See, so this is a wisdom moment. Yet another wisdom moment that must take root in our lives if we're going to have our lives founded upon the rock and continue to bear fruit for Jesus Christ when our lives are on the rock. But think about it. Think of the amount of people who are not built upon the rock. Think of the effort people go to build on sand. I think of the thousands of hours people study the sand. They spend their best years on the sand. They get degrees on building in the sand. We write countless books on how to build in the sand. How many our life goal is to build a sand castle? We seek to spend our retirement worshiping in the sand. How many build bigger barns on the sand? How many people teach their kids the ways of the sand? How many of us spend all this time in social media posts on celebrities who are in love and worshiping the sand? How we love to spend so much time playing in our sandboxes with our sand toys, dreaming of more time in the sand.
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light.